The Girl Power Podcast.
The best R&B and old school, the British invasion continues. I had Sam Henshaw here a few weeks ago.
Did you?
Yes.
I love Sam.
He's amazing.
He is amazing.
Well, welcome, Mahalia.
Thank you so much.
All right, so I'm just going to assume your name, the name Mahalia.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. After Mahalia Jackson.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
So do you come from a musical background, musical family?
I do. So my dad, is a guitarist and songwriter.
Okay.
And my mum's a singer.
Oh,
so
wow.
I really, yeah. And I okay. And when I was young, they were basically in a band together. So okay. I was always around it. And there was never, I can't really remember a day when there wasn't music playing in the house.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing. So I hear that you wrote your first song at 8 years old?
I know. Do you know what? It wasn't even, it wasn't a song that I would sit and boast about. It was a strange one.
Okay.
But yeah, I was really young. Like, I think I knew that I wanted to write music when I was super young.
Wow.
But then I really started writing when I was about 12.
Like, were you always, like, singing when you were, like, 2-3 years old?
Yeah, yeah.
Always singing?
There's so many home videos of me singing, like, really bad pop songs. Or like what would have been on, it was bad. A lot of Avril Lavigne, a lot of really,
okay.
like, all the stuff that was on the radio when I was a kid.
Yeah. Now, do you post some of that on your social media?
Do you know, I posted one once. Or there's one video of me at 4 and I'm really trying hard to play the guitar. But yeah, it's just like all that stuff. I need to actually ask my parents for that, definitely, because that'd be nice to post.
Yeah, like on the Throwback Thursday or something. So you got your first record deal. You were like 13?
Yes.
How does a 13-year-old manage being signed to a label and doing everything that it takes that goes with, you know, having their first record deal so young?
I mean, it was difficult because I think, truthfully, I didn't really know what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really know what it meant. But also, I didn't realise how much pressure was going to come with it.
Yeah.
And I think because I was young, I really felt this pressure of kind of having to leave school and having to get into it quite quickly.
Right.
And when I realised that it was my choice and I realised that I could actually stay in school and finish my exams
mm-hmm.
and do things how I wanted to do them, everything became much easier. But it was a long... It felt like a long journey.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think because I'm still so young, not everybody knows that it was like I've been signed now for 8 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was difficult. It was in the beginning, it was just really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got into the middle phase where I didn't really know what I was doing. And I kind of was trying to rebel because I was like, by this point, I was 16.
Yes.
And I was like, I think I almost felt like, I didn't, like, I think I was upset that I hadn't even slightly maybe explored other realms.
Right.
But then
right.
when I got to 18, I realised that that was just me being stubborn. And that was me just being a kid and wanting to go against what my parents thought.
Mm-hmm.
So then when I got to 18, I then realised, oh, this is something that I'm definitely wanting to do.
Yeah. So did you, was there something else that you wanted to do, or was it always you eat, sleep, drink, music?
I definitely, definitely, when I was a kid, it was always eat, sleep, drink, music, 100%.
Yeah.
I think when I was in middle school, I was really, really, really good with numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to love maths and love science.
Okay.
So I think a part of me maybe thought that I could have kind of gone down a more academic route. But mm-hmm. really, when I got to, like, high school, I couldn't have. I was too in love with it. Like, I was way too in love with releasing emotion into music.
Okay.
You know? Yeah.
Now, who did you listen to growing up? Who's some of the influences in your music? Oh, everybody.
So it varies from being in the car with my mum listening to Tweet.
Okay.
And
yes.
then being in the kitchen and listening to people. I mean, there was a real wide breadth of music. It stemmed from, like, I guess my dad really got me into people like Jeff Buckley and, like, really old,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
great male
yes.
singer-songwriters.
Yeah.
And then it was my mum who introduced me to the greats. Like, my mum got me into Angie Stone and Jill Scott really
okay.
young.
Okay.
And then when she first, I remember she first played me India Irie, I Am Not My Hair.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't stop listening to that album for that whole year that I was in middle school. And then... Oh, and then I got into Lauryn Hill and Erykah Badu as I got older. So as I got older, I started to find more. But in my early years, it was everything that my parents were playing. When I was really young, it was basically just always quite a lot of reggae in the house. And then as I got older, my mum introduced me to a lot of really incredible female, mostly American soul singers.
Okay. And your music, you know, there's you know, so many subgenres of R&B.
Yes.
And so your music, this has been coined by your dad, right? As what, psycho acoustic soul? Now, does he give an explanation? Or
he does.
Does he, okay, of psycho acoustic soul.
Yeah, so it's like, so essentially, you know, I'm 100% R&B, but there's just, I know myself that every song and every kind of piece of production definitely takes a different turn.
Right.
And so I think with my dad's phrase of psychoacoustic soul, I think that was him trying to allow me, because he gave me that when I was really young. I think that was him trying to allow me to not box myself in.
Right.
And it was him saying, you can do anything if I give you these three words, you know?
Right.
So the psycho, my dad explains it as the psycho being my way of writing. And it's because of where I'm from and my little colloquialisms and everything that kind of comes in there and my kind of weird way of talking about things. And then acoustic, just, I think that was purely because I played and I was a musician and I, yeah, I was just quite musical. So I played, I mostly played the guitar, but when I was young, I started to learn the bass and I was kind of dabbling on piano for a bit. And then soul, my dad's just like, my dad's whole thing is just like, you know, he's just always said to me, you have so much soul without even realizing it.
Right.
So, yeah, but I think honestly, I think that was him trying to protect me from the kind of world of genres when I was so young.
So when I first heard what you did, now, the first thing that came to my mind was like, oh, I'm hearing a little bit of Erykah Badu.
Oh, sick. I
love
that.
And I'm sure you've been, you've heard comparisons to, you know, several other. How do you deal with the comparisons and in the quest to, you know, pave your own way in R&B?
I think it depends how you look at comparisons. I know when I was a bit younger, I think I used to look at them quite negatively because I felt like it was people telling me that I wasn't my own person.
Right.
Now, that, like you saying that for me is a compliment and a huge compliment. And that also for me means that I'm doing something right because I'm listening to things and I'm taking inspiration from things. And then I'm creating my own thing. So I love it. But yeah, and like, I'm inspired by so many people that it doesn't surprise me whenever people say things.
Yeah, of course. But when I listen to your album, Love and Compromise, you are totally in a class by yourself.
Thank you.
You, I mean, it's so different from, you know, anything that's out right now. Like, I was trying to figure out the meaning of I wish I missed my ex. So what exactly is, because it can be, you know, taken several different ways.
Yeah.
So when you were writing that song, what was your concept?
So I get asked this all the time.
Okay.
Because I think it can definitely be taken different ways.
Right.
When I was writing it, it was a genuine frustration because I was quite young. I was like 19 and I'd just come out of a relationship that I'd ended.
Okay.
And when I ended it, the guy that I was with really, really, really just kind of was really at me for answers. I didn't have any answers. And it was, I think now that I'm just slightly older, the answer purely was that I'm not in love with you anymore. But when I was 19, I just was like, why are you calling me? You know, I don't know. I just know that I don't want to be with you. And I slightly hate myself for that. But also I think, you know, it's like, it's an age thing. I definitely couldn't explain it when I was young. And so at that time, this person in a relationship was such a great person.
Right.
Just wasn't the person for me.
Right.
And so when I said, I wish I missed my ex.
Yes.
I really did. Like, I really wish that I wanted to be that person. But yeah, I didn't.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. I just turned it into like a sock. Because I think, you know, when you're confused about your own emotions, people asking you how you feel is frustrating.
Yes.
And so there's a lot of frustration in that song. And, and I think that's where people can hear that.
Yes.
Because I didn't know. And he was trying to make me know. And I didn't really want to know how I was feeling. I just wanted to come out of the relationship.
Yeah, you just want to be done with it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you have sort of a connection to Ed Sheeran?
I do.
Tell us about that.
So when I was 13,
yes,
I'd just not long been learning the guitar. And I started learning the guitar, one, because my dad played. And I think I was quite jealous that my dad could make music with his hands. But then when I remember I was in a PE class and I'd just come out of the gym and I walked into the changing room and one of the girls was playing, I think it was his debut single, 18, that must have, God, that... Was it like 2012? Yeah, it was like 7 years ago. And she was playing that, and I remember saying, God, who's this? And this was around the time when I'd just gotten into folk music,
okay,
which is how I started playing. And he basically, from that moment, from when I downloaded all of the songs, I don't know what it was. I just, there was something about the way that he told stories that I really enjoyed listening to. And I went back and listened to all of his old stuff, and then I just became, like 13-year-old girls do, just became completely obsessed. And so I said to my mum said to me, what do you want? And I was like, I just really want to meet Ed Sheeran. Like, I just want to say thanks for inspiring me to, like, pick up my guitar and, like, really start writing songs. And so my mum said, okay, cool, let's do it. And we went on, like, a year-long adventure. We were going to gigs, we were going to festivals.
Yeah.
And along the way, we kept meeting people and just, like, having a really good time.
Yeah.
And it wasn't... My mum would say that it wasn't really that serious. It was more of a joke. But then we met him.
And
so I met him like 10 months into this adventure.
Right.
And I remember because it was so, my mum knew this lady, this amazing woman called Amy Wodge, who had written with him. She took me to a show. After the show, she said, come with me. I want to take you somewhere. And I said, okay. So I go upstairs, walk into this room, and he's just sat in the corner. And I remember just being like, I mean, I was a baby. I was just looking at him like, I don't really know what to say to you. And then I met him, and then he tweeted about me.
Wow.
He just tweeted. I don't even really remember what he said, but it was just basically, check out this girl. And I signed two months later.
Now, did you perform for him when you were? You didn't?
No.
Wow.
He just, I had, I think, like 2 or 3 songs on SoundCloud.
Oh, okay, okay.
And he found my link, and then... posted.
And then that went viral, right?
Yes.
Wow.
That was the first time that anything like that had ever happened to me.
Amazing.
And that was crazy.
Amazing.
And also he's just always been really supportive. Kind of ever since I started. He's one of those guys, when he talks to you, he makes you feel like you're the only person in the room.
Yeah.
Which I find really interesting as people get bigger. And he's just I went through my phase of like really loving male folk singer-songwriters. And it was just the storytelling, you know? It was like, I hadn't heard that kind of storytelling before, or I had, but in a different way.
Right.
And so he really excited me, and then he just with a little click of a finger changed everything.
Now, is there a duet coming from...
Do you know, I need to ask that question, because I hope so. I've been waiting for that for so long.
That would be great.
That would be great.
Yeah.
And I think that would be really symbolic and really special to me, for sure.
Yeah. And you're right now doing like a little mini type tour?
Do you know?
Or are you wrapping up?
I thought it was like a mini tour, but it's 22 shows.
Oh, wow.
So
no, that's not a mini tour.
No, I think it's my biggest tour yet. I think it is.
Wow.
And it's been great.
Wow. So the reception has been awesome.
It's been so good.
Yeah.
Great. It's been more... I have this thing where I never like to know the capacity of the gigs or how many tickets are being sold until quite close to the day.
Right.
And it's completely, it's just blown my mind.
Well, you're getting a lot of attention. I mean, your music is being critically acclaimed, so to speak.
I love that.
Oh. Yeah. And... here's a question about what you did.
Yes.
Cameron on the remix, maybe?
That's what we should do. See, we were talking about a remix a couple of weeks ago. That's what we should do.
That would be hot. That would be hot. That was amazing. That would be amazing.
That would be hot. That's a good idea.
Put my name in the credits. No.
Absolutely.
Wow. So, you know, the album is great. There's, you know, several tracks that stand out, like Consistency.
Yeah, and I love that song.
Yeah, of course.
I love that you love that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
really cool.
And, you know, other than what you did, yes. I mean, the whole album, I was listening to it on the treadmill the other day, and I'm like, this is really, really good. So congratulations.
Thank you. No, I'm really proud of it.
Yeah.
And I feel like it was a long time coming, but not even that long. It mm-hmm. was just the right amount of time. Mm-hmm. And I felt when it finally came to be, I felt ready.
Yeah.
And I felt like I was in the stage of being ready to kind of go out into the world on my own and mm-hmm. and start doing this, you know? Mm-hmm. So it feels great.
Now, you write all your songs.
I do. Or at least I'm involved heavily in all of them.
Okay.
That was a thing that I struggled with in the beginning was mm-hmm. co-writing.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
yeah.
just like, because I was so used to just being me and my guitar,
mm-hmm.
I was
mm-hmm.
just really confused mm-hmm. by the premise or just by the idea of writing with people.
Mm-hmm.
But on this album, it was a real, real collaborative process. And it made it so much more exciting for me, you yeah. know, just like, even just like sometimes, because I grew up in a family where I would have lyrics and my mum would go, I love this, but I don't like how you've said this, this, and this.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like that way of working.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I do write on everything. Some of them I wrote all of them, and then some I wrote with like two people. So it was it felt like a real collaborative album, definitely.
Yeah, well, it's a great album. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Super duper talented. So how can people find you on social media?
So you can find me on all social media platforms at Mahalia, just Mahalia. And then also, I'm pretty sure I'm on most streaming services,
mm-hmm.
But my album is on all the norms, the Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, yes, iTunes, everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
get the album; you will not be disappointed. Now, one song you have like a soundbite is that Eartha Kitt?
It is.
Wow, I was right.
Yeah,
this sounds like Eartha Kitt.
Yeah,
amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Old soul. Yeah, yes. Old soul.
And my mum. It was my mum who introduced me to that clip.
Yeah,
have you seen that interview?
No, I haven't. I have to pull it up.
So the album's named after that interview.
Okay.
So the interview is called, it's literally called Eartha Kitt on Love and Compromise.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll have to
pull
that up.
I mean, she's just incredible anyway, yeah, but yeah. like that interview for me, it was really important in my growth mm-hmm. as a woman,
mm-hmm.
kind of navigating my way through love. So I had to use it.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. Mahalia, the album is called Love and Compromise. Thank you so much for stopping through.
Thank you for having me.